please remain standing for the mission statement.
The mission of the Globe Local Schools, a unified community committed to an interactive approach to lifelong learning, guarantees all students an excellent education that prepares them for life's challenges by providing innovative instruction filled with engaging, experience-based learning opportunities delivered by highly qualified educators in a safe, stimulating, and respectful environment.
Okay, thank you. As you can see, we're a little bit short-handed tonight that both Mr. Kabilis is in the hospital and Jason Myers is home at sick right now, so we will make do with what we have here.
Thanks.
Any additions, deletions that you know of?
No additions or deletions.
All right, and then we had the minutes of the January 28th, 2020 regular session circulated to people. Is there a recommendation to approve those minutes?
So move.
Okay, thank you, Jane. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Rhonda. Are there any questions or comments about those minutes? All right, then may we have the roll, please.
Mrs. Rich?
Yes.
Mr. Wargler?
Yes.
Mr. Kern?
Yes.
Mr. Schreiber?
Yes. Okay, recognition and public participation. At this time, we will hear comments from the public. Please give your name and address and limit your remarks to 3 minutes. Since this is a business meeting of the Board of Education, this will be the only open remarks opportunity for the public at tonight's meeting. All other questions or concerns that may arise should be directed to an administrator or board member at a later date and time. Is there anybody that wanted to address the board? All right, seeing that there's nobody, we will move on to personnel, please. Jim Hudson will act on behalf of Mr. Kabilis.
All right, moving through the recommendations. Recommendation C1 is approval of the Medina County substitute list, which is provided by the ESC. Recommendation C2 is approval of several staff resignations. Recommendation C3 is the appointment of 2 classified positions. Recommendation C4 is a change in status, and the only change here would be the additional 1 hour on Friday. So the rest of the week at 6.75 stays the same. Recommendation C5 is approval of the 3 FMLAs. C6 is the staff contracts for a 1-year contract for food service. Recommendation C7 is the classified substitute appointment pending the FBI BCI background check. Recommendation C8 is approval of the summer school staff, accompanied by C9, which is the summer school principal position. Recommendation C10 is the appointment of supplemental staff appointment for mainly track and softball. Recommendation C11 is approval of the unsupervised building volunteer positions, which is we keep internally. So the recommendations are C1 through C11 by consent.
All right. We have heard items C1 through C11. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll motion.
Thank you, Jim. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Rhonda. Are there any comments or questions about items C1 through C11? Everybody's good with them?
Mm-hmm.
All right, may we have the roll, please?
Mr. Kern?
Yes.
Mrs. Wargler?
Yes.
Mrs. Rich?
Yes.
Mr. Schreiber?
Yes. Okay, business and finance.
All right, recommendation D1 is approval of the monthly financial reports for January. Looking at our overall investment earnings, the district earned $54,494. For the month of January, and comparing that for the entire year, we've earned $336,000. Comparing that to last year at this point, we have seen an increase of $35,207. I did want to point out to the board, I did meet with our investment advisors last week. We do have about $7.3 million coming due, mature, in the time frame of 0 to 1 year. So over the next few months, these maturities will come due. Given our current cash flow, in talking with the advisor, they recommend that we put this back into that 1 to 3 year time slots. So we will be reinvesting those accordingly over the next few months. I also wanted to point out, and if you recall, a few months ago, we went ahead and proactively moved $2.5 million to our capital project fund, anticipation of the Nexus dollars. At that time, we were able to secure investments at 1.66%. If we were to have waited until we actually received the Nexus dollars, today that interest rate would have been 1.38. So being proactive that way, we were able to lock in those investments at a higher yielding rate than what we would at this time. So we have that 2 to 3 time year that $2.5 million is locked into, which is perfect timing for our construction projects as we start to move forward. The cash balance for the five-year forecast funds did increase by 0.6% from December to January, or by $166,000. And comparing that to last year at this point, we're 12.2% higher. I did anticipate it being slightly higher. Looking at our real estate settlements that we receive those periodically over the last couple months, they've actually been lower than what they typically have been. And that is because it was a reappraisal year, which unfortunately the tax bills got sent out a little bit later than what they normally would, which has resulted in fewer payments made up to this point. So the cash flow is a little bit lower than what I anticipated, but it will make itself up as we start to receive our final payments. Looking at the food service cash balance, did decrease by $51,000, and comparing it to this point last year, it's $34,000 lower. The cash fund for all funds increased by 1.5%, or about $440,000, and comparing it to last year at this point, it's $3.8 million higher. We also had three negative cash balances. It's a little unusual because we typically have four or five 500 accounts listed there, but the timing was perfect in relation to when we received our project cash requests in relation to the end of the month. So that's a bit unusual to only see one 500 account up there. Looking at the five-year forecast expenditures, we have spent $938,000 more in comparison to this point last year. And again, the bulk of that is related to our health insurance, having one less insurance holiday. But on salaries, we're at $260,000 more. Benefits, $501,000. Purchase services, $132,000. And supply material, $45,000. So in comparing our actual to our projections, we should be at about 58%. So looking at the salaries, we're at 54.9%. But between the winter supplemental as well as our spring supplemental and our retirement severance payments, that will make up itself as we start to move forward. Benefits, we're at 52.5%, purchase services 51.5%, and supply material at 55.2%. So overall, we're at about 54% of our budget in relation to where we should be. So I'm happy and pleased where we're at so far this year. Recommendation D2 is approval of one then and now and one recertification. Recommendation D3 is approval of the resolution to approve payment of a severance per the recommendation of the State Auditor's Office. And recommendation D4 is approval of transfers, mostly from the high school in and out count to the general fund, but there is one in there for the high school principal's fund. So my recommendations are D1 through D4 by consent.
Okay, we have heard items D1 through D4. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Thank you, Jane. Is there a second?
Second.
Great. Thank you, Rhonda. Comments or questions about items D1 through D4?
I do. I have a couple. With the recertification, what recertification is that? Is that of employee or equipment?
I'm not sure what ATT is. Ken, is that you? ATT? Yeah, I'm not sure, Jim. I'm sorry. We can pull it up. You're so smart, Nancy.
Yeah, it should be. State price increase?
Scroll up a little bit. Oh yes, this is the bus garage. Because we've We had to change our communication lines down there. So when we do our POs at the beginning of the year, we didn't anticipate that additional expense. So when we got our final bill, we had to recertify our purchase order. So that's what that is.
Oh, okay, so it's literally the phone company,
yeah.
AT&T. And then on the food services, that's something we're going to be recouping when the government pays us back?
Yeah, actually, Carrie and I were talking about that today. You know, we like to talk about where we're at financially with food service, and it's all timing in relation to the reimbursements.
Okay, I figured that's what it was, but I just wanted to be sure. All right, I'm good.
Okay.
Anyone else?
Any other comments or questions on D1 through D4? Nothing. All right, may we have the roll, please?
Mrs. Rich?
Yes.
Mrs. Wergeler?
Yes.
Mr. Kern?
Yes.
Mr. Schreibert?
Yes. All right, now we'll move on to superintendent's report, and Jim will fill in for Daryl on that.
All right, recommendation E1 is approval of the Memorandum of Understanding with the University of Toledo, and that's in relation to our College Credit Plus program. Recommendation E2 is approval of the CLEAR program, which I believe this is our second, maybe third year using this program. It's helped to verify student residency mostly, but we actually have a case where we can potentially recoup $64,000 in expenses that we've had out before. So this clearly pays for itself on a yearly basis. Recommendation E3 is approval of registration gateway, and I believe we've had this for at least 5 or 6 years at this point. E4 is approval of job descriptions, and they're outlined there. Recommendation E5 is approval of in and out state travel for the marching band to Orlando, Florida on January 13th, so to 2021, so about a year from now.
Right. Okay, we have heard items E1 through E5. Is there a motion to approve those?
I'll motion.
Thank you, Jim. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you, Jane. Any comments or questions on items E1 through E5?
E2, the $64,000 we're looking to recoup, is that from an individuals that came to our district that shouldn't have been, or do their home schools pay that?
Well, actually, unfortunately, it was court place situation. So the original court documents placed the student in the Cloverleaf District. We since then fought it, and then that decision was reversed, and it was appointed to another district. So we're able to go back and recoup our costs that we've had associated with that.
From, like, the court or from?
Correct, yep.
Okay. Just that we got a better chance of getting it from them. And then on E4, the job descriptions, are these new descriptions, or are they just recertifying that those are the ones? I mean, is there something that's been worked out with OPC for new?
My understanding is that these were, oh, go ahead, Bob.
Go ahead.
These are ones that have been negotiated with the union that are not new, but just being redefined. Is that the case?
What happened is we have labor management with our union partners in the classified union, and we meet monthly. And this topic was taking a look at maintenance and custodian and the wastewater and updating them. So it's simply updated. Now, if I recall, we combined the head night custodian and head custodian into one job description, if I recall correctly. So this was in collaboration with our union partners on redoing those existing job descriptions.
Just wondering.
Yeah, the description given in the weekly update was that the listed OPC job descriptions have been vetted and updated over the course of several months with our OPC partners through the labor management process. But that was all that we had through the weekly update before. Okay. Is there any other comments, questions, E1 through E5? All right. Then let's have the roll, please.
Mr. Kern?
Yes.
Mrs. Rich?
Yes.
Mr. Schreibert?
Yes.
Mrs. Wergeler?
Yes.
All right, E6, please.
All right, recommendation E6 is approval of participating in the school bus purchasing program through the Ohio School Councils. This is actually a really good opportunity for us. It saves us a lot of time from having to do the bidding ourselves, but also a good Ohio School Council bids for a lot of school districts, which obviously can help with the overall bidding process. So I believe this is our third year participating in this, so this gives us the authority to participate this in for next school year. So the recommendation is E6.
All right. Is there a motion to approve E6?
So moved.
Okay, thank you, Jane. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Rhonda. Comments or questions about E6? I'll ask the question that I assume that the way this works, Jim, is that they are putting together the purchase and that they will then go forward after they know how many are being purchased to negotiate the price, right? Or is the price already set?
I think what they do actually is they have a number of districts who want to participate in it.
Right.
And then they put out the specs, a variety of specs per the buses that, you know,
right.
There can be 100 different options for a bus.
Right.
So then they take that out to the vendor and say, listen, we have maybe 1,000 school districts that want to participate in this. Give us your best price. So that's kind of the process that they go through.
Okay. So that's why we go through this resolution to enter into that, saying we want three of what you're purchasing, but then they have to, the negotiations come subsequent to that.
Right. And if we don't like the pricing, we don't have to participate too.
Okay.
Well, that's a win-win there.
Yeah, there's no risk then.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else in E6? All right, may we have the roll, please?
Mrs. Rich?
Yes.
Mrs. Wargler?
Yes.
Mr. Kern?
Yes.
Mr. Schreiber?
Yes. All right, E7.
All right, E7 is relation to a settlement agreement for the school parking lot. As you all know, we've been dealing with this for several years now. This would conclude that. This is a final settlement payment of approximately $150,000 that would come directly to the school district. So the recommendation is E7 by consent.
Okay, we have heard a description of E7. Is there a motion to approve that?
So moved.
Thank you, Jane. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Jim. Comments or questions on E7?
So the 150, that's all we get out of that deal?
Correct.
Well, we took it on chin there.
Well, the attorney didn't think you were going to get that much, so I'm grateful that he persisted.
He persisted enough to probably pay the attorney fees on
it. You're right. His earlier estimate was that we might not have even receive that.
Right.
And as unfair as it seems, the problem is it's almost a lose-lose situation.
Right.
If you pursue it further, you're just going to lose more money. And
well, we did talk about giving a time frame on it, and if it going back and forth, and
yeah,
we were adamant about what we wanted, and he didn't think we would, and we ended up getting.
Yeah, we were just throwing good money after bad to the attorneys.
Yeah, yeah.
So after a certain point, we would have, yes.
And we're better having what we're getting than rather than zero.
So. Absolutely.
Okay. Anything else on E7? We have the roll, please.
All right. Mrs. Rich?
Yes.
Mr. Kern?
Yes.
Mrs. Wargler?
Yes.
Mr. Schreiber?
Yes. Now let's do E8.
Are you tired of hearing me talk yet?
No, you're doing a fine job.
Recommendation E8 is approval of the owner's rep resolution. Just to give you a little background, the owner's rep is the first process in really three of, so you get the owner's rep, the architect, and then the construction manager. So we issued the owner's rep RFQ, request for qualifications, about a month ago. After we received all those, we met as a team, which the team and the committee consist of Daryl, myself, Jamie, Ken, Craig, Rhonda, and Jane also participated in that. We reviewed six or seven of the RFQs that were submitted, and then we ranked those based upon a criteria that was recommended by our legal counsel. From that point, then, we narrowed it down to three based upon that ranking criteria. And then we met as a team and actually interviewed each of those owners' rep. From that point, then, we had a conversation, and we selected that the top owner's rep representative, which is the Westfield Consulting Group, who's outlined in this resolution. I feel that it was a very vetted process. We spent a lot of time going through all the RFQs to make sure that we understood who we were working with. We were going to be working with this company potentially up to 4 years, so we wanted to make sure that we selected the appropriate person. Do you guys have anything you'd like to add?
The three companies we interviewed were very knowledgeable. Two of them really stood out, and you know, when it got down to the end, it was this particular company really knows the Cloverleaf culture, the Cloverleaf background, the Cloverleaf community. They were very experienced in education business process, architectural building. There were just a lot of positives in that column for this particular group. The other group that we were tossing around was very, very good as well, but they brought more of a close-to-home culture that I think that we all felt very, very comfortable with.
Are they a local group, Dan?
Mm-hmm. The company is owned by Steve and Barb Sigalis.
Sigalis.
Mm-hmm. They have given us some tentative pricing. I really liked their pricing model. Some of the other consultants that we interviewed basically said, you know, you can pay for as much as you want. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of being new to this process. What did that really mean? Through their expertise, they suggest that there's probably be about a 60-hour a month commitment to this. Based on that, though, they have a maximum amount that they will charge per month, which is $6,600. So if they only worked for us for 1 hour, they would only charge us for 1 hour's worth of work. But if they ended up working for us for 80 hours a month, they would not bill us for that additional 20. So I kind of like that aspect that they're going to put into it, and if they put more into it, then you know that's on them moving forward. So that kind of gives us some perspective. Mm-hmm.
Of the other things that was interesting was that the other two companies that we interviewed were from Columbus and Cleveland, and their resume of projects were large school districts. And they were all focused around city districts. They weren't locals where we have multiple communities, not a central. So I felt overwhelmed with the amount of people that were involved because of the sizes of projects that they were involved with prior to that. So we were all very comfortable, you know, going the direction we did, and there were a lot of positive comments.
Yeah, we felt like they would be a strong advocate for the Cloverleaf School District. So, mm-hmm. And they had the students in the district, you know, that was really at the top of their concern, mm-hmm. to make sure that we get it right. We only have one shot to do this right, so
now this group here will also be there for the design phase of the building.
So one of the great things about this group is they're both architects, mm-hmm. so I felt very confident that when they do look at those plans and deal with architects, they know what they're talking about, as where us as lay people really don't. So I felt very confident from the beginning of the project to the end that they could be with us every step, mm-hmm. of the way.
We'll see where that comes in, where you said lay people. What we also need is future educational needs, because, mm-hmm. things are going, yes. towards STEM and STEAM, and
well, and that was
I
want
to make sure we've got facility proximity and use for those, because
they were the only group that talked about future learning scenarios, mm-hmm. and moving into the future and making sure the space would be adaptable and flexible as we
Common Core is going to be a thing before long, before things are passed, and we've got to be able to move with them and have the space and the diversity to do it.
And they were the only ones that mentioned a strong recommendation of using staff input from around
stakeholder groups.
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, in the different disciplines of the school, the, you know, English, science, whatever, they wanted to make sure that all of the staff members were involved in the design so that we could move forward and know that everybody was going to get what they were looking for.
And community groups, they focused on that
groups
quite
as well,
too,
right.
Making sure we have people in there.
Right.
My understanding is that their background or their specialty or where they have typically worked is public buildings as opposed to private buildings, too. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. They've done other school districts as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's been public institutions rather than private companies.
And they have a history in school administration, mm-hmm. and with schools prior to doing the consulting here, so they came with a lot of experience in many different areas, I felt.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so we can talk about this some more, but we right now don't have a motion to approve that, so may we have a motion, please?
So moved.
Thank you. May we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Rhonda. Any other discussion, comments, or questions?
No, I talked to Jim about this. It is E8. We're there, right? I talked to him about that, and this is just strictly for the building, so I can live with it.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, can we have the roll?
Mrs. Rich?
Yes.
Mrs. Wargler?
Yes.
Mr. Kern?
Yes.
Mr. Schreiber?
Yes. All right, that is it for all the treasurer's report. We'll move on to unfinished business, please. I guess John Gladden is on the agenda now.
Well, welcome to the first day of early voting. That is today. Voter registration wrapped up yesterday, and early voting commenced today. We're 27 days out from primary election day. We decided to do something a little bit different this time. Usually we would, you know, the county posts a list of persons who take out absentee ballots. And so typically you would rush to get them voter information because all you have is that one quick, fast crack at them. If they fill it out right away and send it back, they're not going to see any of your later campaign materials. So what we decided to do this time was to send a postcard, an early postcard, to all Cloverleaf voting households that was really jam-packed with everything about the PI levy. So that arrived in my mailbox on Saturday. So hopefully all our voters receive that and they'll have that in hand, especially those who are starting to do early and in-person voting this week. Upwards of a couple hundred people in Cloverleaf do in-person voting, and there's no way to hit them because you don't know when they're going to do it. The absentee ballots you kind of know, those you don't know. So that way we kind of felt good, we would give this a try, that we would just hit all households. We have two more mailers coming out that'll be more tightly focused. The next postcard will come out the first week of March, and that's going to focus on busing, on how PI funds support our purchases of buses. And then the following week will be the third and final mailer, a postcard again, and that will focus on building security, how PI funds paid for camera upgrades, security camera upgrades, paid for the new secure entrance vestibules in the high school and the middle school. And then the week after that is primary election day. We had this past Saturday a sign giveaway day. That's kind of become a tradition in the past couple of elections. In 2014 and 15, the Cloverleaf Pride Committee funded the This Crowd is Cloverleaf Proud sign, which is very well received, and you still see a lot of them around the district. We decided to do that one more time, but we were looking for a different message. We impaneled a focus group, and we met, we began meeting right after Christmas break, after we were right back from the holiday break, and we talked about all kinds of different messaging and sign options. And the one that they chose is perhaps you have seen it on social media, or there are some in the back of the room if you would like to get one on your way out. 10 communities, one family, Cloverleaf. They felt that was a different message, a very positive community spirit message. And it was kind of cool as we were handing out signs on Saturday in the freezing cold. I'd like to thank Mrs. Lormeau was there. One of our elementary parents and her second grader came, and Dr. Kabilis was there too. And we had very good feedback on the sign. A couple of them said, I never stopped to consider that Cloverleaf has that many communities. And one person said, can you guys name the 10 communities? And I don't think she realized it was the superintendent who was putting the sign in her car, because we just have people pull up to the curb. And of course, yeah, he was able to do that. So we've had good feedback on that. And we have plenty that we can continue to give those out over the next couple of years, and just to help build community spirit. Also, leading up to Election Day, talking all on the campaign side here, you're going to see more and more Facebook content. The postings have just kind of been every couple of days. You're going to see those become daily. We're also filming some videos. We're getting different people, staff in the district, sharing a little bit about the things that the PI levy funds, textbooks, computers, security, school buses, getting them just to share for a few minutes about how that improves student experience, how that improves building safety, all those sorts of things. So you're going to start to see some video content in the last couple of weeks of the campaign. And then on the district side, district information side, Dr. Kabilis this past week completed the fifth of a series of five columns hitting all the different important messages of the PI levy renewal request. And also we have, we've had for at least a month now, there's a dedicated page on the Cloverleaf Facebook page, or Cloverleaf webpage. It's kind of a clearinghouse for information for levy information, FAQs, how to vote, how to request an absentee ballot, how to vote early, how to find out where to vote. It's kind of a clearinghouse of all that information. So again, we're not taking anything for granted. We're working hard to get our message out, and we'll keep doing that over the next 27 days. So glad to answer any questions you might have.
No, I got my postcard, very well done postcard. Mm-hmm. If I may say, we were designed to do a fine job of designing that. Got mine. I've got 27 relatives plus their kids in the district, and most of them acknowledge that they've received them because we went over to Lafayette Fire Department's breakfast. So I ran into a lot of them, and they're all positive about it. So we're in good shape there. That was a very nice piece of literature.
Good. Thanks for that feedback.
Yeah. Well, you should be out with science this weekend. It's going to be like 50.
I know. What were we thinking? But we are making those available. It's the nice thing. They're not campaign signs. They're community spirit signs. So we're making those available in all the buildings. And I'm hoping to get them available maybe in the library, Miller Brothers, some of those entrance ways, if they'll let us put them there.
I'll tell you, the last time with the Cloverleaf Pride sign, proud, those signs were very well accepted. They were everywhere.
They were, yeah.
And like you said, there's still plenty of them out there, even if they're kind of old. They're not.
The frame started rusting out on that. That's the only reason it came down.
Yeah, we're hoping to get the same kind of longevity out of these new signs and a different kind of message that we hope will stand the test of time.
And I think it's a great message because that's really who we are. That's what our district is all about. So thank you, John.
Thanks.
Okay. All right, let's move on to new business. And I think you've been involved in this, Jim, as much as Daryl, right? Okay,
yep.
So you can speak about this.
So as everybody is aware, Nexus did file an appeal to lower the overall values. They did recently file a second appeal. From what I understand, the way it reads, it looks like it's a second appeal, but I guess there's some conversation that it was actually a correction to their first appeal. So that came in at 48.2% of the total values. So obviously they're appealing more than 50% of that value. Nexus has paid their first payment. The county auditor let us know that yesterday, and that came in at about 47%. Why there's a discrepancy, I don't know why. That's something I still need to look into. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. If they were to pay the full amount and Ohio Department of Taxation did award them some level of that appeal, we would actually have to pay that money back with interest. So I guess if, as it goes through this entire process, obviously we want to win the appeal. We want the Ohio Department of Taxation to honor the overall values, but we won't be in a situation where we would have to pay money back. I think that's kind of the worst case scenario, because then we would have to reserve those dollars and pay interest on it. So I just, if it's going to go one way, I'm glad it's going this way at least. But Daryl and I met with a group of superintendent and treasurers that are very interested in joining or forming a coalition or a COG. So there's about 80 school districts that are affected by both Nexus and Rover. So if you look at the number of lobbyists that Nexus has, they have 6 lobbyists down in Columbus right now, and Rover has 3 lobbyists in Columbus right now. School districts have 0 lobbyists in Columbus. So the point of this coalition is to join all these districts together, and quite frankly, we think that we would potentially open it up to other entities as well, whether it's libraries or townships. The more people that we have in this conversation, the better off it's going to be for us. So what the recommendation is coming out of this group is that we do formally form this coalition, and that we actually have some dues associated with that. We're looking at about $1,500 initially. That $1,500 will secure membership into it, where $500 of it will be for legal services. So if we do want to engage a lobbyist, then we would work with this legal counsel in the contract obtaining the lobbyist group. And $1,000 of it would be reserved for anything that came up for the services to keep this coalition alive. So that could be getting some appraisals done, that could be some administrative work. If we have to meet for some purpose, it would cover meeting expenses. But $1,500 in the grand scheme of things is a pretty good bargain. Mm-hmm. There could be additional costs as we start to move forward. It depends on how many school districts and entities actually join this. But at least we're doing something to get going on this. So the hope is that we have an actual resolution that the board could approve in March to join this. We do have tentatively a meeting scheduled at the first part of April, and then at the Treasurer's Annual Conference, we're going to have another meeting there scheduled as well. Our goal is we need to get somebody down in Columbus right now. So the sooner we can get that done, I think the better off chances that we have in this fight to restore those overall values. The purpose, though, too, is not just for the immediate, it's for long term. What type of legislation can be put down to help prevent this in the future? Is it, you know, making sure that if you do appeal, you can't appeal for 5 years? Because every single year, these public utilities can appeal their values. So that's not fair from us from a budgeting standpoint, where we're anticipating X amount of dollars, and then that could be appealed. So the, you know, right now, recommendation is to have legislation that would lock that in for a 5-year period. So it's things like that we want to do long term too to help protect. You know, looking at the debt schedule, this is going to be around Cloverleaf for a long time, 30 plus years, plus we have the transfer station. So the more proactive we are now, the longer, the better off we'll be in the future.
Are the 80 or so school districts that you've met with, is that every school district that is affected by the pipelines, or is that just a fraction of them?
That is every district affected by them that showed up to the first meeting.
Okay.
Right now we have about 30 that have committed to joining.
I think it's really important that we have a face and some stake in the game in Columbus, because you know, we all know how politics works, and if you don't have representation, it's unfortunate.
I was involved in a technology many years ago that needed lobbyists to keep things working the way they were, and the idea that if you just call your local representative and think you're going to have as much impact as when there are lobbyists
right there,
roaming the halls of the Capitol and, mm-hmm. you know, making their connections known and putting their arguments out there, it just doesn't really work that way. And it really does get down to, if one side is using lobbyists to present their case, you need to do something similar to that. Otherwise, you're just going to get bowled over, and it's just the way things work.
Right.
Well, lobbyists also don't only just argue point. They bring in the legal terms, too, because they can go to, like, they use that one in Oberlin. They use that one factor there for determining their position on it when they didn't want Nexus to come through. So there's a lot of legal issues and documentation that a lobbyist digs up for you that they can entertain and bring to the senator or congressman that you and I, we're going to write a letter. We have no idea that exists.
Yeah.
Well, they do.
That's true.
So that's a good point to have. For $1,500, that's a bargain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We thought so. All right. So, like I said, we'll bring that next month for the formal board approval, and then hopefully we get some momentum.
Another question on that 47% you're mentioning, is that is that 47% of the 7.2, or is that 47% of what?
That's, yes, 47% of the original 7.2.
So we received 47% of the 7.2.
Only half, though, because this is only the first settlement.
Oh, okay, so it's going to be paid in installments of how many?
Twice a year.
Okay.
So we received half of the 42% that was promised. If that makes sense.
Okay.
So next month, too, I'm going to have a recommendation for the board to approve a transfer, because I have to receipt those dollars into the general fund because that's where they were initially. But I'll have a chart showing our operational dollars that we anticipated in the five-year forecast, our extra dollars, and that's the amount that we'll be transferring.
Into our new fund.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you said you'll have that next month?
Hopefully, yes.
Okay, all right.
Yep.
Sounds good.
All right.
Okay. So is there anything else before we move to executive session? All right, then we have a need to move to executive session for... as you and I talked about it, Jim, it was appointment and employment.
Yep.
Of a public employee. So there's a motion to move into executive session.
So moved.
Thank you, Jane. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Rhonda. May we have the roll, please?
Mrs. Rich?
Yes.
Mrs. Wargler?
Yes.
Mr. Kern?
Yes.
Mr. Schreibert?
Yes. Okay, thank you. Yay, executive session?
No, yay. We've got that part done.
First time I heard a